We are in our final week of our Ecclesia series, our series looking at the church. And I would encourage you or invite your attention to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6 this morning, in a message that I've entitled The Growing Church. I'm now in my 24th year of pastoral ministry, and a common question that I get asked when people find out that I'm a pastor is this, or something like this: how big is your congregation? How many people attend your church? I wonder why. Why do people ask that question? Why does the number of people in your church really matter? Is it because bigger is viewed as better? Maybe the larger the church size, the more successful the pastor is viewed to be. I mean, pastor, you must really be doing something there. Look at the number of people you have. Another thing I've learned, though, is that it's not just those outside the church who want to know how big your church is, but when pastors get together, guess what they ask? What are you guys averaging now? How big is your church? What size is your congregation? Every year we put together, have to answer or fill out an annual church report to our denomination. Guess what one of the questions is they ask? What was your average attendance last year? And I don't think it's a bad question, but I wonder if maybe there is a better question to ask. And I recognize that it can be an indicator of what's happening in a church. It's not a bad thing. It might indicate growth, but it doesn't necessarily reflect accurate or true growth. Generally speaking, what I've discovered being in ministry, that it's the churches or the pastors of big churches who tend to get the positions that come open in leadership. Maybe it's because since their church is big, it's an indicator that they're a good leader. And that may be the case, but not necessarily. There is a mindset in our culture, in our secular culture, that growth is synonymous with success. If you're growing, then you must be successful. And I think that kind of thinking has invaded the church, that if the church size is large, then that's an indicator that that church is successful and healthy. That has invaded the church circles. And I think it's generally true that healthy organisms do what? Grow. We expect that, don't we? And so I think it's fair to expect that a healthy church will be a church that grows. Now, we're talking about church. And let me remind you that you are the church if you know Jesus Christ. I am the church as I know Jesus Christ. So I'm going to be talking about us as individuals as we speak of church. And you said, you've told us that for the last 3 weeks and now 4 weeks. Yes, I want you to get the fact that you are the church. Okay? And then we, as a corporate body, we come together and we represent the corporate church. And then there is what I call the Big C church. That is the church worldwide, God's church all around the world, those who are followers of Christ. And I would suggest to us this morning that if the individuals comprising the local body of Christ are healthy spiritually, it can reasonably be expected that the corporate church will be healthy, and as a result, then the corporate church will grow, and ultimately God's church will grow. In the church world, there's a lot of emphasis that is placed upon attendance on Sunday morning. See, the number of people who attend on a Sunday morning is a barometer, or has become a barometer, for the weekend. And it's become the indicator of how well a particular church is doing. Now, I find it kind of interesting that we're talking about the growing church on Labor Day Sunday when attendance is typically some of the lowest of the year. So I'm preaching to the choir, okay? Now, do you think it's a fair statement to say everybody likes to pack the place out? I mean, isn't it fun when the building is full? There's energy, there's excitement, and it just kind of feels good. And frankly, it can kind of feed the ego of the pastor as if he has anything to do with it. It can. But here's a question for us. What if a growing church is much more than how many seats are filled on a Sunday morning? What if? Let me just say it again. What if a growing church is much more than how many seats are filled on a Sunday morning? Could it be that the focus of the growing church needs to be shifted from attendance to how many lives are being transformed by the gospel and how many people are being discipled and are maturing in their faith? What if that's where the focus needs to be shifted to? Well, Pastor, are you saying that Sunday morning attendance is not important? You did not hear me say that. All right? But what I am proposing is that maybe the individuals in the corporate, in the body of Christ locally should focus more on fulfilling the Great Commission, making disciples, than it does on seeing how many people can fill the building. Now, I am not saying that you should stop inviting people to church on Sunday morning. Keep that up. That's not a bad thing. I'm not criticizing that. But here's what I'm suggesting, and we should place more emphasis on making disciples than we are saying, I invited 5 people to church on Sunday. So what? Inviting people to church doesn't make disciples. It doesn't. It makes us feel good because we can say, I invited people to church. Well, are you making disciples in your daily life? Here's what we see in the New Testament as the church was getting its start, Book of Acts. As the followers of Christ fulfill the Great Commission, the big C, that's the church worldwide, and the little C, that's individuals and including the corporate church, grows. That's what we see in the New Testament. In fact, in the book of Acts, the growth of the church was always, always, always connected with people coming to faith in Christ. Remember in Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost, the 120 in the upper room, they are filled with the Holy Spirit. They come busting out of the room and they're telling the gospel. They're sharing the gospel with like 16 different or nations, like 16 different nations, people from 16 different nations, and the people are hearing them in their own language. And that day, after Peter preaches, some 3,000 people give their lives to Jesus, place their faith in Jesus, and are baptized. What was it connected with? Always connected with people coming to faith in Christ. And then the church began to grow. It began to spread outside of Israel. It moved to Syria, Greece, Turkey, Europe. And as we read through the book of Acts, it's always, always connected with the word of God being preached and people coming to faith in Christ. That's where church growth was. It wasn't about what can we do to get as many people as we can into the building? They didn't have the buildings to go to back then. But the church was growing as people individually were growing. So as the followers of Christ fulfill the Great Commission, the big C and the little C church grows. Now this morning, I don't want to focus much more of our time on the corporate church growing in numbers. Since you and I are the church, what I want to do is zoom in on our individual growth spiritually as the church. And I believe that if we are growing in our own personal lives with Christ, that God's going to take care of the corporate church and it will grow and reap the benefits of us individually if we are growing as the church. Your Bibles are open to Hebrews chapter 6. We'd like to look at the first three verses as our foundation for this message called the growing church. The writer says, therefore, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death and of faith in God, instruction about baptisms, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And God permitting, we will do so. Hebrews 6, 1 through 3. Throughout the scripture, there is a call for followers of Christ to mature and grow. We find that throughout the scripture, especially the New Testament. Maybe we would be better to say that there is an expectation that the church will grow. The Apostle Peter and the Apostle John and Paul, they jump on that bandwagon of maturity. And here's what we see in the New Testament. The growth of the church has more to do with the maturing of believers and making of disciples than it does with the number of people in a building on a specific day of the week. That's what we discover as we read the scripture, as Peter and Paul share the message from God. There's no question that you and I are called to grow, to mature. And the scripture that we just read in Hebrews tells us that we are to move on from the elementary teachings about Christ. Now, when the writer says move on, he's not saying forget about them. He's saying keep these in mind, but don't stay stuck there. Maybe we put it like this. Don't stay stuck in kindergarten. Now, if you had an 18-year-old that has been in kindergarten since the age of 5, would you be troubled about that? See, there's an expectation that we grow. And the writer of Hebrews is saying, listen, there are some basic truths that we need to know. Don't forget about these things, but don't get stuck there. Listen to what he says. Here's some basic first grade stuff. He says, repentance from sinful acts of sin. Now, that's basic, isn't it? I mean, this is where our relationship with Christ begins. We confess our sins. We turn from them. That's basic stuff. We don't forget about that, but we don't just dwell on that. He talks about faith, and that's another basic teaching. We are saved by grace through what? Faith. And without what? It's impossible to please God. Without faith. Faith is a basic teaching. It's not something that we go, yep, I believe that, and then we forget about it and move on. We build on it. He talks about baptism. He's saying that's another basic thing. It's the next step after you come to faith in Christ. You make a public declaration of your faith. Those are basic, elementary teachings. He talks about laying on of hands. This was done on a couple of occasions or for a couple of reasons. When pronouncing a blessing on someone or when commissioning someone into ministry. We see that in the New Testament. They laid their hands on and then this happens. He talks about resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. These are basic teachings. Talking about the future happenings. There is a future. Jesus is coming back. There are things that he talks about, the final judgment. All of these are basic. And what the writer says, okay, let's not forget those, but we move on, leave those things and build on them and mature. And he says, God permitting, we will do so. So let's talk about some areas this morning, what I'm calling the growth of believers. What are areas that you and I as the church need to be growing in based upon the scripture? Here's the first area. As the church, we need to grow in the knowledge of God. Grow in the knowledge of God. Paul writes in Colossians chapter 1, verses 10 through 12, "And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work," listen, "growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light." We are to grow in the knowledge of God. How do we do that? Growing in the knowledge of God, understanding who God is, means we study him. There is a technical name for it. It's called theology, the study of God. And it's not something that's complicated, but it's something that we intentionally begin looking at. Who is God? What does he do? What does he like? What does he dislike? And where do we find that information? In the Bible, in the scripture. And so the way we study to learn more about God is we jump into the Word and we spend time in the Word to know more about him. Now, the purpose of knowing about him isn't so that we can puff our chest out and say, "I know so much about God." It's not about that. The purpose is we are to grow in the knowledge of God so that we can bring our lives into conformity to his ways. Paul wrote in Ephesians 5, verse 1, "Be imitators of God." Well, how do I imitate him? I have to know what he does. I have to know what he wants to do. I have to know how he acts and behaves before I can imitate him. And again, I've got to be in the Word to understand who he is, to grow in the knowledge of God. This is an area that we as the church, individuals, need to be growing in as the growing church. Closely related to this is, secondly, we need to grow in the knowledge of Jesus. Now, Jesus is God, right? The second person of the Trinity. That's a whole other subject, the Trinity. If you understand it, please come explain it to me, and then we'll have you share on a Sunday morning about the Trinity. Jesus is God, though, okay? The scripture says, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. How do I grow in the knowledge of Jesus? Point back to growing in the knowledge of God. How do I grow in the knowledge of God? Study him by studying the what? Guess what? If I'm going to grow in the knowledge of Jesus, it necessitates that I am in the scripture, that I am in the Word. Now, when we watch Jesus in the Word, we can see his interactions with people, both sinners and saints. As we observe Jesus in the Gospels, we can listen to his teaching. We can pay attention to what others said about him. We can listen to what he said about himself. Jesus says these kinds of things about who he is. He says, "I'm the good shepherd." He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." He says, "I'm the gate, I'm the Lord, I'm Savior." And do you remember what John the Baptist says about Jesus? He's the Lamb of God who does what? Takes away the sin of the world. So as I look at the scripture, as I study the scripture and grow in my knowledge about Jesus, I learn more and more about who he is. Now, what is the purpose for growing in the knowledge of Jesus? I'm going to suggest two purposes. Number one, so that we might be transformed into the image of Christ. We learn about him so that we can be transformed, so that we can begin changing the way we live, and we can let him change the way we live our lives. In that way, we can better represent him in our words, in our thoughts, and in our deeds. And as we've been talking about, then we can take him into every nook and cranny of life as we become more like him. I think a second purpose is this, so that we can more accurately share Jesus with others. Listen, if I don't know about Jesus, if I don't know him, then I can't share him with others. I mean, I can't tell somebody something that I don't know. There are places in this world that I've never been. I've never been to Paris and the Eiffel Tower. Well, I guess I was in Paris. I was in France once. We landed in the plane in the middle of the night. But I've never been to the Eiffel Tower. I can't tell somebody really much about the Eiffel Tower because I've never been there and experienced it. Now, if you want to talk about Israel, by the way, we're going to Israel in 2024 February. If you want to go, come talk to me. I can tell you about that because I know a little bit about it. If I don't know about Jesus, and if I don't know Jesus, then I can't accurately share him with others. That's why we are to grow in our knowledge of Jesus. And I would suggest this, that the better we come to know him, the more we will love him. Which leads me to a third area of growth. We are to grow in love. We're to grow in love. Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16, from him, from Jesus, the whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament grows and builds itself up in what? Love, as each part does its work. I'm going to come back to that in a moment and just kind of walk through that verse. Folks, you and I are to grow as the church individually in love. One day Jesus was out and about, and a religious leader came up to him and says, "What is the greatest commandment?" Jesus says, "Not going to tell you." No, he didn't. He said, let me tell you what the greatest commandment is, and I'm going to give you a second one that's really close. First one, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second one is very close to it, love your neighbor as yourself. We summarize that and say the two greatest commandments are love God and love people. We are to grow in love. We are to grow in our love for God. What I've discovered is this, the more, generally speaking, okay, you're going to punch a hole in this one, but follow me. The more we get to know a person, the more we love them, generally. There might be one or two that the more we get to know them, the less we love them. But generally speaking, the more we get to know a person, the better we love them. Think about those of you who are married. I mean, you loved your spouse when you got married, right? But those of you who've been married any period of time, you look back on when you first got married, and you love your spouse, but your love for them today is way different and way stronger and probably more accurately loved today than it was way back then. Back then, it was a whole lot of like. We thought it was love, but my old pastor used to say, puppy love is real to the puppy. It's real. But the more we've done life with our spouse, we've walked through the ups and downs, the valleys, the difficulties. You've experienced stuff. And you've got to know them better as you walk through life much more intimately. And now your love for them is considerably different and stronger than it was when you got married. The same, I believe, is true. As we spend time with God, if I could put it like this, doing life with him, we learn more and more about who he is. We watch him as he works in our lives. We observe him as he works in the lives of our children and in the lives of those around us. We experience his grace and his mercy and his blessings. Have you experienced his blessings? And as we experience all of these things, our love for him grows. See, the better we know him, the more we love him. We're called to grow in love for God. Now, how do we grow in love with God? Sounds like a broken record. Spend time in the scripture, because there we discover who he is. Discover what he expects. get a grasp on His love for us, take time to pray, take time to talk to Him, take time to listen to Him, watch Him work, and your love for Him will grow. Grow in your love for God. We're also, secondly, to grow in our love for others. Jesus says this is the second greatest commandment. Love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus also goes on to say to His disciples one day, love one another. This is how the world will know that you belong to Me, that you're My disciples. If you what? Love each other. John wrote in 1 John 4:12, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and His love is made complete in us. John is talking about growing in love for one another, and it seems that there's a direct connection with loving one another and growing in love for one another. As we're doing life together, our love for one another grows. I mentioned and read to you Ephesians 4:16, that we are, that as we're in Him, that our, that love grows and builds itself up. Let me just make a couple observations. From Jesus, from Him, the whole body is joined together and held together by every supporting ligament and grows and builds itself up as each part does its job. So, as we are in Christ, we then work together as each part does its own job. We then grow in love for one another. Here's what I have seen in my years of ministry. The church, that's you and me, when the church works together, serves together, spends time together, there is a bond of love that begins to be developed and strengthened. As we spend time together, working together, serving together, ministering together, there is a love that begins to grow. There is a caring heart for one another. We begin sharing each other's joys and each other's burdens. It's then that the body of Christ becomes like a family, because that's really what we are. When we come to faith in Jesus Christ, we become God's children. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. We are a family. And each of us does our part. And as we do, love for one another grows. We're to grow in love, both for God and for one another. There's a fourth area that we are to grow in. We are to grow in faith. Paul writes in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3, we ought always to thank God for you, brothers, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more, and the love every one of you has for each other is increasing. What was Paul doing here? He's writing to these believers, and he's complimenting them on their growing faith. He says, I see it. You are growing. Your faith is growing more and more. And I wrote this in my notes. Could it be possible that a growing faith is closely connected with a growing love for God? And here's why I asked that question. As we truly come to know and love someone, the easier it is to trust them. Isn't that true? The more we get to know someone, the easier it is to trust them. We're to grow in our faith. Now, I have to tell you, this isn't the most exciting part of the message. Actually, a little warning or disclaimer. The growing of one's faith includes testing and difficulties. Anybody want to grow in faith? This is what you can expect. James writes in James 1, verses 2 through 4, consider it pure joy, my brother. Okay, listen carefully. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Pause. How many of you, when you face difficulties, go, I am so filled with joy? Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know, here's why we can face it with joy, you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. There's a connection, it seems, with faith and difficulty. Are you familiar with Hebrews 11, often called the Faith Hall of Fame or the Faith Chapter? Generally speaking, it reveals that testing and faith growing go together. Noah was tested when God said, build an ark. And it says, by faith, Noah did this. Abraham was tested when he was called to leave his homeland. And then ultimately, when God says, sacrifice your son Isaac, by faith, Abraham did this. Moses was tested with the task of leading the people of Israel out of Egypt. By faith, Moses led them. There was testing. There was difficulty. There was hardship. How did they make it through all of that? One word. What is it? Faith. And through this, their faith in God was strengthened. It grew. Well, as you and I walk through the challenges of life, and there are one or two challenges, aren't there? Have you noticed that? Our faith in God has either the opportunity to thrive or to dive. It's our choice. Am I going to choose to trust Him? And as I do so, my courage and my faith is increased? Or am I going to choose to question Him and refuse to trust Him? See, when I do trust Him, and I watch Him as He helps me through that challenge, my faith grows and it's strengthened for the next challenge that comes into my life, because it will come. When you make it through a difficult period of life, and you step back and you see how God sustained you, how He gave you the strength that you needed, it grows your faith. It gives you that courage to say, God, I will trust you next. Now, there's a key. Don't forget today what God did for you yesterday. Because if you're anything like me, I walk through something, God helps me, my faith is strong. Walking along, I get into the next challenge, and all of a sudden, I've forgotten how God helped me the last time, and I'm like, oh no, what do we do now? You ever been there? Or is it just me? Is that just a pastor thing? Okay, you understand what I'm talking about? When tomorrow's challenges come, and they will, don't forget how God came through yesterday. Let your faith be strong. Let it be steady. Grow in your faith. We are called to grow in our faith. One more area that we're called to grow in. We're to grow in our salvation. Grow in your salvation. Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. What does it mean to grow up in your salvation? I take you back to John chapter 3, just in your mind. There was a man named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, who approaches Jesus at night. And he wants this eternal life thing that Jesus is talking about. And Jesus uses the imagery of new birth. He says, you must be born again. The picture that we have here is that the individual who places their faith in Jesus Christ receives the gift of salvation is like a newborn infant. What do we expect of a newborn infant over time? That there is growth, right? That's normal. That's the natural progression. Babies don't stay babies. But there is a point where we are born again. We're spiritual infants. We're now saved. But now we have to grow. I've already mentioned Hebrews 6. Leave the elementary thing. Grow up. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13 speaks of the fact that we are to grow. We are to mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. What is the purpose of growing in our salvation, of maturing in our salvation? One word, Christ-likeness. That's the purpose. Growing up in our salvation, in our conversation, our behavior, our relationships, every area of life, becoming more and more like Jesus. And as we become more and more like Jesus, we put off immaturity and we put on mature actions and behaviors. No longer do we throw food at the table like an infant or a toddler. We learn how to use our fork and our spoon and how to wipe our mouth with a napkin, and we learn how to ask and thank you and please, and we're maturing, we're growing. There is the need for us as spiritual infants to grow into toddlerhood and then to the teen years and then to adulthood. We're growing up in our salvation. And then one day, the scripture calls it glorification. We will be spiritually mature completely. Once we get to heaven, our maturity will be complete and we will have grown up ultimately in our salvation. But until that time, we are to continue to move forward and to grow and get bigger and bigger and more mature in our faith and in our salvation. Well, as we said in the very beginning, the scripture is clear. We as believers are to be those who don't stay infants, but are to grow. And as the individual church, as we grow spiritually, God's church will grow. And I do believe that the local congregation will also see growth. My thought is this: if you and if I as the church am serious about growing in all these areas we've talked about, God's going to take care of the growth of His church, the local church, and He will help us as we grow. So here's my encouragement. Two thoughts. Number one, don't neglect the gathering of the church, because we need one another in this journey through life. We need this time of gathering, encouraging one another. So don't neglect the gathering of the church. But second, don't neglect the most important growth, which is your personal walk with Christ. That's where it starts. Don't neglect the most important growth. I close with words from Hebrews 6. Therefore, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity, and God permitting, we will do so. Let's pray. Father, thank you once again for your word. It's so practical. It teaches us that we are to grow. We aren't to stay babies. I pray for me and for us. Though we're all at different places in our journey of growth, some are infants, some are toddlers, some are teens, some are adults in their faith, in their walk. Wherever we are in the journey, I pray that you will help us to be people who are continuing to grow. Our trust is in you. We can't do this on our own. We're dependent upon you. Lead us. And may we have a desire to learn and to keep growing. And we look forward to that day when our faith will be sight, we will be fully spiritually mature in your presence in heaven. But until that day, may we not stay stuck in any grade, but may we grow and mature, because that's what you said we should do. Father, would you guide us? Would you lead us and help us to follow you? We pray this in Jesus' name.